AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bang.
It is what it is, man.
DJ Screen.
You don't be on nothing I be on.
Baby Jade.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this then.
Bring you big facts.
Bad ethnic right now.
Visit the new website today, bigfactspod.com.
Live from the Trap Music Museum, Big Bank, DJ Screen, Baby Jade. Of course, we team Big Facts. And today we welcome the one, the only, Gold Mouth. Big Facts, Gold Mouth. What's up? What's up with you, my brother? You good?
Yeah, man. Everything good, man. I was nervous when I first walked in this bit, right?
You can't be nervous, man.
Look.
The first thing we got to do is create clarity. So let us know who you're affiliated with. Also create clarity, like you do know Jeezy, but yeah, you're not the same Gold Mouth that Jeezy was rapping about on the old mixtapes.
Yeah.
So you're a different Gold Mouth.
Yeah.
But y'all from the same place.
Yeah.
Which is?
Macon,
Georgia.
Yeah, Duncan Block.
Okay. And just tell us, kind of just let us know who Gold Mouth is. If somebody been under a rock, they don't know what's going on. Let them know what time it is.
Oh, yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm from Macon, Georgia. I'm from the Duncan Block, you know what I'm saying? Notorious gang turf, you know what I'm saying? I'm like the biggest in my city, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, when I was young, I was accused of, like, at the age of 13, I was in the street and shit, you know what I'm saying? So how I jumped out the porches, my story is like, real crazy, man. A lot of people really don't know my story. But when I was young, when I was growing up, you know, my mother and my father, they was in the same crib. You know, they was married together. My father was a Muslim. And so we was born Muslim. But when the crack era hit, my mother and my father, you know what I'm saying, they fell victim to the crack. Mm. So at around, you know, my daddy went to prison. So around 10 years old, you know what I'm saying, I was pretty much, me and my sisters, we was left to fend for ourselves. So I had an older brother that used to be, you know, in the gang, you know what I'm saying, doing his thing and shit. And every Thursday, they used to go to a club called Fast Track that was popping and making. And, you know, I was, at that time, I was a kid. So I used to go to school with holes in my shoes and shit. And you know what I'm saying? My brother, he was doing his thing, but he never, you know, took me to the mall to buy me no shoes and no shit like that. And my mama, she was addicted to drugs. So one day when my brother then went to the club, I walked out on the back porch and a big ass bomb of crack just like fell from the ceiling. You know what I'm saying? And I picked up the motherfucking bomb. And I knew my mama, you know, she was already doing her thing. My daddy was in prison. And, you know, we were struggling like a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? We, you know, lights get cut off. We had to steal meters and shit, you know what I'm saying? My mama was like, getting credit work and having owing these niggas, her welfare checks and her, you know what I'm saying? All her wick and all this shit, it went to the niggas in the hood. So when I got this motherfucking crack bomb, that shit just fell in my hand. So I took it to my mama like, you know, shit, ma, look what I got. I need you to help me sell this shit. So she was like, all right, I got you. So, you know, that me and her, you know, we started selling, you know, she helped me get off the work. And so like my mama, she became like, you know, like my first customer in the drug game. You see what I'm saying? So it wasn't no shit that I wanted to get into. You know, nowadays niggas want to be a part of this. Niggas want to be a part of that. You know what I'm saying? Niggas want to be act like they drug dealers and trappers. Niggas that don't even have to do that shit. So that's how I got in the game. So, you know, I started, you know what I'm saying, serving my mom and her friend, you know, through my brother and them bum. They never knew what happened to it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I used to credit my mama to work, you know, make sure that I get her first check. So when the shit came, I can, you know, put the food in the fridge because my sisters, we needed food in the house. So basically in the sixth grade, I quit school, you know what I'm saying? And which isn't cool at all, but that was just under the circumstances. I was forced to quit school. I became a full-time drug dealer. And in the streets, by the time I was 13 years old, I had got robbed by two white boys. And they beat me real bad with a pistol. So almost 10 days later, they found these two white boys murdered on my block. They got execution style murdered in my hood, just straight, they just slayed on the block. So although I don't know nothing about that shit, you know what I'm saying? No murder investigations are what they are. They still came and got me and my whole gang, me and my whole clique. And at the time, like I said, I was 12 going on 13. So, you know what I'm saying? I was up on a heavy investigation, heavy interrogation. You know what I'm saying? They kicking in all my people doors and shit, getting all my clothes, sending it to Atlanta, with, you know, sending it up here for ballistics and blood samples and so on and so forth. So, you know, life had got real, shit was like hell for me, you know what I'm saying, growing up. And I was a nigga in the street. Like, I went up on a lot of OG niggas. And so they taught me how to rob. So we was going from motherfucking set to set, hood to hood, and making hit motherfucking lick. That's just what it was. You know what I'm saying? We jumping out on niggas in broad day. We robbing niggas. We selling dope. So I came up, you know what I'm saying, in a real rough manner. And I ain't saying that in no bragging way, because nowadays, you know, I'm elevated and that ain't the shit that I'm on. But just give you a background of what it was. But even when I was growing up, I was influenced by niggas like Chris Cross, seeing Jermaine Dupri, you know what I'm saying, get young kids and you know, make them superstars. So I always wanted to rap. So although I was in the hood still doing my shit, I was still, you know, rapping and shit, just making, doing little raps around the hood. And I went to jail in 19, one of my best friends got murdered. So I ended up going to jail in 1996 for a stream of armed robberies and home invasions and shit. And I went to Millersville Youth Prison down in Millersville, Georgia. So when I got out of youth prison, you know, my nigga Ella B, Kinky B, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Kinky B, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he had met Jay, he had met Jeezy at a boot camp or some shit. And he was like, listen, bro, because they called me Lil Mill in the hood, you know what I'm saying? That's my name, Lil Mill. Like in Macon, Georgia, you say Lil Mill, you say Gold Mouth, you know what I'm saying? Resonate with him right now. But King and Jeezy, they always called me Lil Mill. So when I got out of YDC, they like, shit, man, King, like, bro, I need to introduce you to my nigga, Jeezy. Man, you know what I'm saying? He can't rap or no shit like that. But, you know, we want to kind of be on the executive side of things. And if we could do that, you know what I'm saying? You could be the rapper, my nigga, and we could just move forward and kick the dough down in the rap industry. So King introduced me to Jeezy. So Jeezy, you know what I'm saying, took a liking to me. You know, Jeezy had already heard that I was, like, notorious in the street. You know what I'm saying? Jeezy had already, because back then, if you were going to talk the street shit, you had to be a real street nigga. Like, you know, when Scarface and all these niggas was popping, the Two-Face, the MC8, all these niggas was popping, you really had to be a street nigga. So they figured that if they put me in the music industry, I can talk all the street shit in the world and niggas can't do nothing but give me that credibility, give me that respect. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we started this label. We came up here to Atlanta and linked up with some niggas that was on Itcha Bomb Records. And we went through Jeezy Cousin, Said Black and G Money, and they had did an album called Hell in the ATL. And with that album right there, they allowed me to do a single on that record. You know what I'm saying? And so we did this shit called Hell in the ATL. And then later, you know what I'm saying? Me, Jeezy, and Kink, we started a label called Young Guns Entertainment. Mm. And I was still knee deep in the street. We was making music and shit, but music wasn't paying my motherfucking bill. So, you know, Kink, you know, Mailman, my nigga Jeezy, they always be like, bro, you need to fall back. You know what I'm saying? I was steady catching, you know what I'm saying? I was steady getting accused of murders and shit. Every time a nigga get killed in the hood, they always, you know, blame the shit on me. And it was kind of crazy because I was always on a motherfucking surveillance. I was always, you know, I was a hot boy. Like, literally, and we were riding around bumping the hot boys back then. So it was like, it was like, chill out, bro. You know what I'm saying? We're going to blow. Because, you know what I'm saying? Kink and Jeezy, them niggas wasn't no rappers. I used to write rhymes for Kink. Because, you know, Kink, he tried his little rap shit back then. Yeah. But the shit didn't really go, you know what I'm saying, too good for him. So he kind of fell back and did the executive thing. And Jeezy wasn't no rapper either. But, you know, we had formed a group. And throughout that group, one of my group members fucked around and caught a case. And then I was steady catching cases. I had a shootout with the police. And Jesus was like, damn, my nigga, like, Kink, like, bro, y'all, bro, we didn't invested all this money, my nigga. Y'all niggas steady in the streets. Y'all niggas ain't taking this shit serious. I ain't really understand then, you know what I'm saying? The shit that I understand now. So I used to question them niggas, like, what you mean I ain't taking this shit serious? I hit the studio. I do the rap shit. You know what I'm saying? I do the records. But, nigga, I got to eat. This is the only way I know to eat is the streets. So I end up, you know what I'm saying? In 2002, I end up catching a attempt murder charge in Florida. And I end up catching 35 years. I went to trial. So I caught 35 years in prison. So by the time, you know, the kink in the CTE movement, you know what I'm saying, blew up, I was already in prison. I was serving time. You see what I'm saying? So to clarify the gold mouth situation, no, I'm not that gold mouth. You know what I'm saying? That's DeJuan Wright. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to DeJuan. He's a regular, you know, regular person. He worked, you know what I'm saying? Good dude. Don't desire to be in the spotlight. But a lot of people automatically assume that, you know what I'm saying? Because in prison, I had nothing but goals all across my mouth. So in prison, that's when niggas started calling me that. So just so happened, coincidentally, me and Jeezy have our deep relationship, our deep history. So niggas automatically assume that on their own, you know what I'm saying? But I never try to take credit for anybody's name or no shit like that. Jeezy mentioned me in like 4 songs. He did a song called Where I'm From when he was like, you know what I'm saying? My nigga Lil Mill, the nigga got 100 bodies and shit, you know what I'm saying? And then he just did this new song with Boosie on the Rocket Man record. And he was speaking on how I had just did 20 years. I came home and I asked him for a verse and he showed me love, gave me a couple of verses, you know what I'm saying? So we just did a couple of records together. So just to clarify that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So at what point did you meet or link up with Rallo?
So when I got out of prison, I got out of prison with like $300,000, you know what I'm saying? A little bit above $300,000. I wrote a book while I was in prison, you know what I'm saying? I wrote 2 books, actually, you know what I'm saying? So I was running it up while I was in prison. And when I got out, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, a motherfucker ain't give me a pair of socks. And, you know, it was kind of disappointing because, you know, I thought somebody would come to my aid and try to assist me in some shape, form, or fashion. You see what I'm saying? I got a lot of niggas that, you know what I'm saying, was in the streets doing their thing or whatever. But they was like, nigga, you been gone for forever, nigga. I guess your time over with. So niggas ain't really believe in the vision. They ain't believe in the shit that I had going on. So I got out of prison with, you know, with the money that I had. And I started investing in music. I started investing in, you know, back in the rap game. You know what I'm saying? Coming up with my own merch. Coming up with, you know, different ideas. And I had already invested down to 6 figures into music. And I met Queen, which was at the time Rallo manager. You see what I'm saying? So she seen what I was doing. She seen I was a boss in my own right. So she was like, shit, you could be an asset to our team. You see what I'm saying? So she got me on the phone with Rallo. Rallo a Muslim, of course. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Muslim. We got similar backgrounds. You know what I'm saying? Being in the streets, doing whatever it is, you know, we was doing. And so we got on the phone. We got on the phone conversation and everything went from there. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So what, musically, I guess, what's the plan now musically? Because you had your vacations, you had all the stuff that's happened, but you still aspire to do the music and pop doing the music, right?
Yeah. Music has always been one of my dreams, you know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty good at music. But after sitting down in a penitentiary for over 17 years, you know what I'm saying? You have to get back out here and get reintegrated into society, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Pick up on the new slang and things and all the shit that these niggas doing out here. And then, you know, as you grow, as you get more familiar, as you get more acquainted with society, you know, your music improves. So I dropped three albums already, three underground albums since I got released from prison. And, you know, the one that I dropped in association with the Phantom Groom brand, it did pretty good. I had a lot of features on it. You know what I'm saying? I had Boosie, Derez, Deshaun, Anthony Hamilton, Don Tripp, you know what I'm saying? Beanie Siegel, you know what I'm saying? So I had a pretty good feature lineup. But as I say, my music was continued climb, you know what I'm saying? Trying to grow. So basically I've been recording. I'm finna get ready to drop my new project, which is called Now or Never. Cause for me, it's now or never. You know what I'm saying? I'm either do this shit now or I ain't gonna do this shit at all. You feel me? But I got a lot of youngins that they gonna step up. I'm just trying to open the door for these young niggas so they can come in the door and do their thing. But for me, it's now or never. So yeah. I'm working on, you know, some projects right now. You know, on this new project, I got Renny Rucci on the record. I got motherfucking Jeezy on the record. I'm the only nigga in the game that get features from Jeezy without being signed to a major label. You know what I'm saying? So that's major. I mean, he's a major artist. Homie ain't giving out no features. So when I call him up, I'm like, nigga, I want a feature. He like, nigga, shit, you the realest nigga in it. Nigga, let's do it. You see what I'm saying? No hesitation. Yeah. So that there speaks alone. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm able to fuck with all my day ones. And them niggas will tell you, man, that nigga the real deal. Like, I got homies in the prison system right now. You know what I'm saying? That I'm paying motherfucking money for lawyers for these brothers. You know what I'm saying? I'm motherfucking sending these brothers money to their JPay account. You know what I'm saying? Like, keeping it all the way funky. And shit, Jay, you already know. You know some of my homies in the chain gang doing motherfucking sure. life in prison. You feel me? So I'm really active. You know what I'm saying? I'm really active, like really in the streets. I'm really, you know, in the prison system. You know what I'm saying? I did my time in the pen, man, and it was crazy because I bought houses from prison, man. I did so much shit that people really don't even understand. I only been out of prison like 2.5 years. And when I got out of prison, fam, a motherfucker ain't give me a penny, bank. Bitch ain't give me a penny. I made myself a motherfucking millionaire within 2.5 motherfucking years, man. I ain't get no cosign, no nothing. Even the relationship that me and Rollo has right now, I never got a dollar from Rollo in no kind of way. Jeezy never gave me a dollar. With due respect to them brothers, I ain't asking for shit. Yeah. But I owe the Jeezy than the 50 bands from a situation that happened a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? I got out the pen, nigga, walked straight up to him, huh, Jeezy? Get them 50 I owe you. He like, nigga, we can work now. I love that. You know what I'm saying? Sure. So I ain't ask no nigga for nothing, my nigga. I came in the game without a motherfucking pair of socks on, Harley, and made my way to where I'm at right now, sitting on Big Facts. You feel me?
Hey, I know you left when shit was like still kind of before the internet, right?
Yeah.
Way before the internet.
Yeah.
So like when you touch back down, like what's the weirdest shit you seen? Like,
to be real with you, you know what I'm saying? Although I don't involve myself in street shit now, I was a certified dope boy, certified motherfucking robber. And back then, we didn't take no pictures, man. So what fucked me up is to see the so-called trap niggas and motherfucking street niggas taking pictures, man. You know what I'm saying? And posting. You know what I'm saying, nigga? Back then, we was thinking, nigga, the feds, you know what I'm saying? Watching the niggas, you know, that shit blew me. So even now, you know, I got an IG page, but people be like, Cole, you need to post. You need to post. You know what I'm saying? But it's still hard for me to kind of, I'm old school with that shit. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for me to post now. Cause I'm so like conditioned not to be putting pictures out there, not to post, but that's what they want to see. If these niggas don't see these motherfucking chains and and diamonds and shit, then they don't think it's real.
Yeah.
So you got to put that shit in their face. And that's a part of what, you know what I'm saying, a lot of these niggas do. They get all this money, you know what I'm saying? They put it in their face. Because this is the only shit these niggas believe.
Yeah.
But in all actuality, these niggas ain't, a lot of these niggas ain't ready for that pressure, though. They ain't ready for that pressure that came, that comes with this shit, you heard?
Yeah.
Because I was in the penitentiary, you know what I'm saying? I was in the Florida State Penitentiary, right? The home of Devereaux. I had fucked around and caught a case, you know what I'm saying? I had stabbed the police up because they had beat me real bad one time. And when I got out, I said, man, when I get out this hole, I'm going to fuck you up. I told the crocodile, I said, when I get out this hole, man, I'm going to fuck you up for y'all trying me like that. So I caught one of them. I wet his ass up. I went to they immediately put me on expedited transfer to Florida State Penitentiary. I stayed in that cell 7 motherfucking years straight.
In solitary?
In solitary confinement, 7 years straight without coming out the motherfucking cell, man. When I came out that motherfucking cell, bro, the motherfucking sunlight felt like goddamn Cancun. You heard? I'm talking about real talk. I sat in that cell for 7 years. All I did in that bitch was read books and talk to myself and just, you know, pace and do work out. I had to get a routine in that motherfucker. I was eating sour potatoes, man. The motherfucking crack was feeding a nigga sour potatoes. Motherfucking old ass spoiled rice. But I had to eat that shit. And I spent 7 years in that cell. When I came out that motherfucker, man, I was a total different person. I had read every book you can motherfucking think of, from the 48 Laws of Power, the 50th Laws of Power, the motherfucking Account of Monte Cristo, every motherfucking book you can think of, bitch, it was stacked up in my cell. I was reading, becoming a scholar in that bitch, you heard? So you point at one nigga, one individual on earth that's out here in these streets doing the shit that I'm doing, can tell you they spent 7 years in one motherfucking cell without coming out, and that shit ain't broke me. And I ain't never told, and I ain't never motherfucking fold, you heard? Right here today. Got out of prison in 2.5 years and made myself a motherfucking millionaire, man. This is facts. I just got off the phone with Kinky BG. You just seen me talking to him, nigga. It's facts, man. This ain't, ask any nigga, ask Jeezy about me. Every nigga, them niggas gonna vouch. They gonna say, that nigga, that a real one. You feel me? So anything that I do out here in these motherfucking streets, whether it's musically, my clothing line, whatever the fuck I'm doing, y'all make sure y'all support a real nigga. You heard? Straight up.
That's simple.
Facts.
That's how you feel.
Big fact. That's how I feel. I'm doing this shit, baby. Yeah. This shit is hard, man.
What else some of them books you read in them?
Man, I mean, my favorite book is called Account of Monte Cristo.
Yeah, no, that's the one.
It was written by Alexander Dumas.
Pure Revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That book transformed my whole mentality, my whole way of thinking. It changed my whole life, man.
How many times you read?
I read that shit like 7 times.
Yeah.
I studied it. And when I got through with that book, I felt like, you know what? I'm ready to take over the fucking world, man. I take on any challenge that come my way. They said they need Elsa's. About
what? When I get big fat, big fat, big fat. AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So when you came out the hole, you was different in population too. Like, you was different. You was on some high elevation shit.
Yeah, you know, I got green eyes and shit. You know what I mean? Y'all see? So when I came to prison, they thought shit was sweet. You know what I mean? And one thing about the chain gang is that you have to always, it don't matter how many niggas you wet up, how many niggas you flip, you have to always set a new example every now and then. You see what I'm saying? So I was a different person, but I was still on go when the time came. But when it came to academically, when it came to, you know, philosophical sciences, I had advanced. Like, I understand astronomy, astrology, numerology, theology. I mean, I understand all that shit. I read it. I studied. I was studying motherfucking systematic theology, trying to get an understanding of the different religions. So, you know, if I ever had to deal with different races and cultures and people of different religious fractions, I'd be able to deal with them in an appropriate manner without disrespect. You know what I'm saying? So if I was over here dealing with the motherfucking, the people in Tibet, I know, you know, up under the, I knew how to deal with these people under the 142 verses of the Dhammapada. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it gave me a form of diversification that nothing the streets can do for me. Because I robbed everything on the street. I stole all the motherfucking cars on the street. I did all the whipping and cooking in the kitchen and all that shit. So I needed to have a different form of knowledge.
Yeah.
And so those books gave me what I lacked. And I was in that motherfucker. I became a paralegal in prison. See what I'm saying? I was litigating niggas' cases, 2254s, federal cases. I'm litigating these motherfuckers, getting them in a federal appellate court. This is what I did. Any nigga that come, who had this interview, any nigga that come under this motherfucker coming, they gonna say that nigga telling the fucking truth. Yeah. I got shipped to 17 different prisons, and I was in a different state. Didn't know nobody, bank. I had to survive, man. This ain't no motherfucking fantasy story. This shit is real.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I have to applaud myself. I have to give myself flowers.
You better.
These hating ass niggas out here ain't gonna give them to you.
You better give yourself your flower.
You feel me?
Nah, real shit.
You have to do that. Cause he hating that niggas ain't gonna give it to you. Only how These niggas some dick eating ride niggas, man. The only
they what?
They some dick eat dick ride niggas, man. The only thing these niggas gonna do, they listen to these celebrities. Anything these celebrities say and do, they follow suit.
Yeah.
These niggas ain't been through shit. But these niggas have the biggest opinions. If you look at if you look at life, Jay, real talk, right?
Yeah.
If you look at life, you'll see the niggas with the biggest opinion ain't been through shit. They'll tell you how to handle a situation. If an individual gets shot, they'll tell you all about the bullet holes and how to handle, you know, and you don't supposed to limp like that. You supposed to walk
don't
like
panic.
This.
Don't
you
got panic. Shit.
Don't bitch, you ain't never panic. Got shot.
Don't panic.
You ain't never got shot. You don't know nothing about that shit. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So I be real careful and mindful of these hating ass niggas because they tell me, man, it's like three type of people in the world. Niggas that got motion, niggas that want to have motion, and other niggas that watch the niggas with the motion. I'm a nigga that got motion. I may not have more motion than this individual, that individual, but I don't give a fuck because that individual haven't walked in my footsteps.
Right. Right.
I did 17 and a half years in prison, nigga, never fucked with another man, never told on a nigga, and came out that bitch with a sound mind, still on the grind and getting it. Who we can say did that?
It's a few.
I said, but who we can say in the industry?
Yeah, it's yeah.
So these niggas, these dick riding ass fans out here.
I thought you said they were eating it.
They eat it too.
They dick eater riders.
They dick eaters. They riders. They suck it. They whatever. You feel me? So these niggas, a rapper can say anything they believe. It's just crazy.
What y'all think shift that? Like, shift it. Like, if a nigga like. Like, we can know a hoe-ass nigga that been a hoe-ass nigga all our life. He gets some money, now he right. Like, everything he say is right now.
Social media.
Like, he right.
I always say it's social media.
Yeah.
It changed the game. Changed all the rules.
See, social media.
That shit before social media a little bit.
But you know what, though, man? Social media gave a bunch of nobody's a platform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anybody can come on your page and throw a comment down there. You got 5,000 niggas. No, you got 100,000 niggas watching your page. Now this bitch ass nigga come in. Now 100,000 niggas here. Otherwise, yeah. nigga, you who are you?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that got a whole lot to do with it. You know what I'm saying? The change and shit of how things are, you know what I'm saying? Social media. Back in the day, you know, rappers wanted to be street niggas. But nowadays, street niggas want to be rappers. So everything then flipped. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to be mindful of that shit. You feel me?
Let me ask you a question. Being that this is Mental Health Awareness Month, I have like a two-part question off of like some stuff you just told us or whatever. So my first question is, when you were talking about your gift that came from God out of the sky that you caught, you know what I'm saying, from your brother or whatever, and you had to essentially kind of like make your mom your first customer. How did that affect you mentally, kind of like when you knew the effects that it was going to have on her, but your back was kind of against the wall because you had to make your money? And then the second part of my question is, when you were in the hole for all of those years, I know you basically said that you had to get a routine to kind of like maintain so that you wouldn't lose your mind.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, when you had those times when you broke down and thought about your family or you thought about your homies or like, you know, your people that were on the outside, what did you kind of do? Did you completely block that out to kind of like not lose your mind? Or did you just try to think of like, I'm going to see them soon type shit so that it wouldn't break you all the way down?
Yeah, that's a good question. As far as the first question you asked about my mother,
mm-hmm.
That situation, it wasn't really based on money. It was based on the fact that she was already doing what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like, you know, I should, if anything, you know, I want to get the money from her so I can put it back
in the house.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And also, okay. I didn't have no real emotional attachment to that situation because I feel that she was just mama to me.
Yeah.
Like she was just, you know what I'm saying, just doing her thing, getting high. I mean, she was respectful about it. You know, she never just pulled out the pipe and just smoked it in front of me.
Yeah.
But me being a very inquisitive, intelligent kid, I knew exactly what was going on. So I really didn't place no no emotional attachment to that situation. And I didn't see it like that.
Okay.
Because it ain't like these pills out here that niggas dying off of.
Yeah.
You know, and had it been even that situation, I definitely would have wanted to serve her, because I would have wanted to make sure that she didn't get a hope to no bad pill or no bad drugs that could possibly kill her.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But as far as the prison thing is concerned, I feel like those days I woke up and I wanted to like just end it all, because that shit go to biting. That shit hurt. It's very heavy. It's very heavy. So it was days.
Especially being totally isolated from everybody. Like,
but what I did though, Jay, to be real with you, I mentally detached myself and emotionally detached myself from the free world, because I had 35 years.
Okay.
And I knew I had to stop worrying about what my baby mama was doing.
Right.
I had to stop worrying about what was going on in the hood.
Exactly.
I had to stop worrying about all the free world things and focus on myself.
Right.
Focus on fighting my case, trying to get out on appeal so I don't have to spend the rest of my life in here.
Right.
So what I did, I mentally, emotionally, and intellectually blocked out everything and just said, you know what, I'm finna focus on this book, focus on God, get closer to God in my religion, and focus on keeping the hope alive within myself, because I know one day I'll be free, long as I keep on fighting, long as I don't give up. But there was days that I couldn't get out of the bed. I would just lay in the bed and just think, lay in the bed and just cry, lay in the bed and just pray. Those days came. But I always been a person that felt like, if it can be done, I can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, if anybody can get out the motherfucking prison system, I'm going to get out this bitch. And when I get out, and let me tell you, it was crazy because I psyched myself out, man. I used to be in the cell, have my own rap concerts and everything. This is the type of shit a nigga had to do under such dire circumstances. You have to psych yourself out. Yeah, nigga, I'm finna get out this bitch. I'm going to be a superstar. You know, I had to condition myself. I had to believe that.
Yeah.
Because had I didn't believe that, had I not, I seen plenty of people kill themselves. Niggas next to me hung themselves. Nigga across from me hung themselves. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I could have easily took that route. But it's just something in me that wouldn't allow me to give up. And I kept on pushing and kept on pushing until I made it back out here. Now, you know, I'm sitting before y'all having this beautiful conversation. You feel me?
What's the key to staying up?
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of people we see, a lot of homies, like they always going back in, getting caught up in bullshit. To you, what's the key to staying out?
I would say the key to staying out of jail is surrounding yourself with positive charged people and not, you know, falling back in them same ensnarements and entrapments that you was doing previous. You know, you got to change. You see what I'm saying? You can't hang with the same niggas you used to hang with that you used to rock with, because you're going to fall right back in the same thing. This is like a crackhead trying to motherfucking clean himself, trying to get clean, and you going right back to the dope holes and hanging with the same crackhead? No, you can't do that. So you got to change your environment.
Yeah.
You got to change the people in which you associate yourself with. And you got to just completely want better for yourself. It's always a way. A motherfucker will tell you, nah, I can't do this, I can't do that, unless I go rob somebody. I ain't going to get no money in my pocket unless I go sell some dope. Nah, it's a million different ways. You just got to be willing to do that.
Yeah.
But it's based on, nigga, people be so caught up on people perception. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go work in that motherfucking McDonald's.
Yeah. Right.
You know, they like, fuck that. I ain't going to no McDonald's.
Anything,
yeah,
but
they don't want to go be a motherfucking work in the Walmart goddamn storage room or whatever that shit is. They don't want to do none of that. It's their pride.
Yeah.
So they find themselves trying to live up to people's perception of them, their old perception, rather than letting these people know, listen, man, I'm a changed person. Yeah, I don't mind driving the Amazon truck. I don't mind, you know, working day to day, working a 9-to-5 to provide for my family by any means to stay the fuck up out of prison.
Shit.
You see what I'm saying? They don't want that. They want to get all this type of shit and do all this type of shit, but they don't understand that, you know, a price come with this shit. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? If you're going to be doing things the wrong way, it's a million legitimate ways to make money. I had to go speak to some elementary school kids the other day, and I think that's the most extraordinary public service deed I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
They sent me.
Yeah, I've been speaking to kids at the schools too.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was my first time doing this. such an engagement. And they had me speaking to first graders and fifth graders. I'm saying to myself, what the fuck I'm gonna tell a first grader? Mm. You know, I just had a new baby, and my baby girl, you know, she'll be in first grade soon. Mm. So I'm like, what the fuck can I tell a first grader?
Yeah.
So when I went in there, you know, I kept it simple. Like, listen, I want y'all to know that school is the start of everything. If you want to be a music person, you want to be a rapper,
a firefighter, you want to be a firefighter,
a doctor, a lawyer, you first got to go to school. Yeah.
It starts
you
here.
Understood that. Sure. You see what I'm saying? So that's the best part of giving back. When you can invest in our youth, when you can invest in our kids,
yeah.
You see what I'm saying? That's really giving back because they are our future. You know what I'm saying? They are the ones going to hold these positions in the future. So if we can invest in our kids, if we can, you know, steer them in the right direction and get them proper guidance, shit, we can be a better culture. We can have a whole different outcome of how the thing's going now. Because, you know, we are being taught, our kids are being taught through this music, you know, to be a stepper, to be, you know what I'm saying, to get that head, to do this, to do that, you know, a lot of negative things, you know what I'm saying? And so we have to be very mindful of these things. We need more people in our communities that's willing to reach out to the kids and do things like that. So, you know, that was a beautiful experience for me, you know, speaking to the kids. And I have plans on doing that a lot more, you know, a lot more often. You feel me?
Okay. So speaking of getting out of prison, changing and, you know, like influencing the youth and stuff like that. We have a mutual friend, Power. Yeah. Shout out to Power, bless. shout out to my nigga, all the guy for bringing that introduction down in Miami, you know, getting everything together. But he's currently serving life on a murder. He's been in 25 years and he's on the same shit that you're on about, yeah. You know, empowering the youth and making a difference and basically showing them that the way that a lot of the youth think is the way is really not the way. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about his mission and, you know, like what he got going on and how you guys are working together to basically change the world.
What Power is doing, he's doing a wonderful job from behind the walls. You know, without my help, you know, I was the first person that was actually posting him before he ran into Lil Meech and, you know, before he made it, you know, got a relationship with you and so on and so forth. Yeah. So he's doing a wonderful advocacy thing from behind the walls. He's, you know, from his experience, he's striving to get the message out here to the youth, you know, letting the youth know that, you know, the shooting, the killing, all that negative shit isn't cool.
Right.
And he have a very vigor, tenacity, you know what I'm saying, of doing those things. And I got so much respect for the brother because, you know, we did so much time together. We did so much time together and, you know, we shared so many ideas about, you know, getting out and having a positive impact on our communities.
Right.
Building our communities rather than destroying our communities. You know, as we done when we was young, and we want to spread that awareness. We want to spread that word to make sure that the kids know that there's a better way outside of negativity, outside of crime. You could be a millionaire without selling a motherfucking a block. You can be a motherfucking, you ain't gotta, it's more professions out here than rapping and singing. You can be a motherfucking, you could be a goddamn a scuba diver.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You could be anything,
right.
You know, other than a rapper and so on and so forth. And he basically wanna spread that awareness. So shout out to my brother Power. You know who you are. Love you to death, man.
Yeah, I was able to, through like my connection with him through O, I was able to like link him with Wallow and him and Wallow had like a really big conversation. Wallow instantly, like as soon as he got off the phone with him, called me back, sent me a couple of bands to send him, like, you know what I'm saying? Tell him to take this and put it, you know what I'm saying, on his cause and, you know, what he's doing for the youth because I got like mad love and respect for him. So he got a lot of shit going on. He also has a YouTube channel, Struggle Love 2679, that he's using to, you know, get his point across. He got two podcasts that are about to come out. And he's doing all of this from jail in a fucking maximum life facility. So it's a lot of niggas that are like in prison and that are behind a wall that are making like major moves or whatever. And that's another like part of the motivation for this interview is to show like that if these niggas that have to deal with the fact that they have life or that they have all these years and all this other shit going on can make these type of moves and make these positive impacts and positive influences, then like, what are you niggas on the street doing?
Yeah.
In real life.
And you know what, Jay? Something, a key factor is this. If the brother get exposed for what he's doing, that could be, that could mean life or death to him.
Yeah. So
he's willing to sacrifice, you know, his life.
To make a difference.
Put his life on the line to make a difference for the youth out here. So that's a very, very important and powerful movement that he got going on. And I stand 1,000,000,000% behind the brother.
Me too.
And support him in everything he do.
Me too.
How often you get to chop it up with Rallo?
Actually, I chop it up with Rallo every day.
Mm.
Yeah, every day. Actually, he just called me when I was getting up here to when I was seating myself in the chair. I talked to him every day.
So you posted something on your gram because there was just stuff going on the internet about paperwork, all this other stuff. We saw your post particularly where you were like, no one should talk about, I guess you were saying someone's paperwork because you dealt with it and someone told on you. And basically you were just kind of, I guess, bringing some clarity to the situation from your own perspective. I guess kind of build on that a little bit.
Yeah. So I want to make this clear, right? When I met Rallo, I already had my own shit going on. You know what I'm saying? I'm my own boss, I'm my own person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So don't never think that I'm getting up on this platform to try to defend something that shouldn't be defended or defend an individual that, you know what I'm saying, don't deserve being defended. Mm-hmm. As we spoke, I did 17 motherfucking years in the penitentiary because a bitch snitched on me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My partner, Powell, that we speaking on, he doing life in 25 years in prison because a motherfucker snitched on him.
Mm-hmm.
My nephew got 3 life sentences because a motherfucker snitched on him. You feel me? So I said that to say this. I feel that if a person don't have all the facts, don't be so quick to try to put a person down or talk crazy to a motherfucker because if you don't have all the facts, you know what I'm saying? Rallo is a brother to me. And I said this. If I didn't feel deep down in my heart, if I didn't feel that he was in the right about what's going on, then I would have to disassociate myself from it. What the fuck I look like? I stand on business. I stand on real principle. You see what I'm saying? If anybody do anything, they should be 21 about what they do. Now, according to the conversation, the only thing I seen is everything that everybody else seen on the internet. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, what's going on? The only difference that I have is that I'm in contact with Rallo. He called me. You see what I'm saying? And I've seen all of the paperwork. 21 Savage even vouched for this. You see what I'm saying? We've seen all of the paperwork. We know what the fuck going on. Now, when it comes to the situation, whatever the street's saying, that's what the street's saying. I was in prison when all this shit was going on in 2018. I was serving 20 motherfucking years. So whatever the street's saying, that's what the street's saying. But what I'm saying is that I seen the paperwork, I read it, you know what I'm saying? I understand what's going on. And I said, damn. So the question is, to me, it's not whether the brother snitched, because from my understanding, he didn't tell on nobody. He didn't snitch on nobody. He played games with the feds, tried to manipulate them. He was paying somebody like $400,000 to allegedly come from somewhere and, you know what I'm saying, like, well, to take the charges for him or whatever he had going on. I don't know the complete details of it, but it wasn't no, I went into a motherfucking interrogation room and snitched on people. Mm-hmm. It was that they was trying to set up a play. It's called pimping affairs or manipulating the system, or manipulating the feds. And they was going to pay somebody $400,000 to take whatever charges from whatever situation that they created. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know a motherfucker that's saying, yeah, I'm in prison right now because Rallo put me here. Even the dude who released this audio footage that he edited, none of his co-defendants saying that he snitched on. All his co-defendants called me and say, nah, man, this man ain't told on them. And the dude who released the motherfucking footage saying he did. So, nigga, this nigga ain't even a part of the case. So, am I going to believe the co-defendant niggas who was in jail with him, who saying, nah, this nigga solid? Or do I believe another person that have motive to, you know what I'm saying, slander his name for whatever the reason be? I don't know their relationship. I don't know the extent of that. I do know that the homie was, you know,
sending this so-called first page of the paperwork to people saying that anybody come up with the most money, whoever, you know what I'm saying, can give me over 10 bands for this paperwork, he can get the paperwork. So it seemed like it's a benefit there. However, you know what I'm saying? I'm in and out that shit. From my understanding, he's my Muslim brother. And at this point, I don't see that he did any wrong. You know what I'm saying? So I think the question is whether or not, you know what I'm saying, y'all feel, a person feel that he was wrong for even trying to play games with the Fed. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's no snitch matter. You feel me?
Worse. Some gold mouth. So what's next? What's next for you, bro? What's next for you? What you got coming up? Let everybody know how 2023 gonna look for you.
Yeah, so I got my own clothing line. It's called the Gold Collection. You know what I'm saying? I get my shit from the same.
Bring us none. People always.
Nah, you know what I'm saying? Right now,
I was like, Jay, I'm getting a lot of shit to y'all.
Don't worry.
Your shit been exclusive about a year, though.
Oh, yeah.
Her shit been exclusive to her about a year.
Wow.
So,
see how you really feel.
I'm just saying. I've been waiting with open arms to support.
No. We good. It's coming.
So I got my own brand. It's called the Gold Collection. I get my materials from the same people Louis Vuitton get their shit from, but my shit is a lot cheaper. So it'll be coming out, you know what I'm saying, in about two weeks. I will be posting on my IG page and my Facebook page, you know, when it does drop. And I ask that everybody that like nice fabric, if you will go spend the money with the Europeans, you know what I'm saying, make sure you spend money with your own people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not charging near as much as the Europeans, you know what I'm saying? My shit is reasonably priced. So I ask that people support the Gold Collection, you know what I'm saying? And I got my project coming out. It's called Now or Never. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking with some major labels right now, like big labels, to give me a deal related to this project. So it'll be coming out in the summertime. I'll be dropping a single very soon called Bout To. It's a solo single, you know what I'm saying? I just did the record with my fucking Renny Rucci. Just did the record with Jeezy. Who else I did record with? Boosie, quite a few other people on my album. So that'll be coming out soon. And I got my own podcast called The Gold Experience.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I will be asking, one, two, or three of y'all or all of y'all to come to my podcast.
We do.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying? I'm just doing real nigga shit, man. I'm just trying to, you know, stay the fuck out of prison. Surround myself around good people, good energy.
Yeah.
Try to spread love and spread wise words through my experiences. You know what I'm saying? And shit, man. Shit, I'm the realest nigga in the motherfucking world, man. You heard?
Hey, shout out to Gold Mouth, man. Yes. Keep spreading that positive energy, man. You know what I'm saying? Serving the community. We appreciate you pulling up to that big fact.
Right now. Visit the new website today, bigfactspod.com.
Yo, what's up? You know who it is. It's DJ Scream, and we've all been there before. A weekend trip to the casino canceled because real life came calling. Well, my bookie's new and improved online casino is here to change the game. You can dive into a truly realistic casino experience featuring the latest in slots, jackpots, live dealer action, and all from the comfort of your own home. Your adventure at MyBookie Casino begins today with a generous sign-up bonus using promo code BIGFACTS. That's promo code BIGFACTS to secure yourself a sweet deposit bonus. And that's not all, because MyBookie Casino's revamped loyalty program ensures that you'll be showered with rewards, including free spins, cashback offers, and a host of exclusive VIP perks. The more you play, the more you win. Play anytime, anywhere with MyBookie Casino. And make sure you use our promo code, BIGFACTS.
For the streets.
Exactly.
It's Big Facts.
No cap.
Bitch.
You're in tune to Big Facts. Of course, Big Bank is here. DJ Scream, Baby Jade, and joining us right now, of course, Money Moo, a.k.a. Still Pay Moo on Big Facts. What's up, Money Moo? What's up? What's going on with you, bro?
Bro, feeling great.
Feeling great?
Working, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So what you currently been up to? What is Money Moo currently up to? I mean, we're going to get into the history. We're going to get into a lot of shit, but what you currently been on?
Man, I've just been working on my sound, you feel me? Like, really creating my sound. I've been locked in with Still Paid. You know what I'm saying? That's the family, the label, the producers. We got Mondo, Rubber Band Red, King of the Court, you feel me? Like, and really just been working on this sound. And really, too, just been doing a lot took things for myself outside of music type shit. You know what I'm
saying? Like what?
Living life.
Yeah, living life. Like working on other investments, you feel me? Like I'm fucking with the Airbnb shit right now. Like, okay. And just, you know what I'm saying? But yeah. They said they need Elsa's. About what?
When I get big fat. Big fat, big fat. AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So independent, completely, just still paid. That's your shit, right?
Yeah.
What's some of the up and downs of the independent grind? You know what I'm saying?
Well, for sure, like, it's ups and downs with it all the way, you know what I'm saying? The good things about being independent, everything's in your control. All your money, all your back end come to you or whoever, you know what I'm saying, on your team.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really the best part about it, and just being able, at the end of the day, it's on me with however the cards play, you know what I'm saying? So it's like that. And then I ain't just all the way doing it by myself at all, you know what I'm saying? I still, like right now, I do distribution through Venice, you know what I'm saying? With my dog Red Push, on Troy Red. Carter, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They help me when I'm distributing, but like, yeah, it's good. And the downs, I guess if you would say it's a down, I guess just it's on you, you know it's what I'm saying? You, yeah. But I wouldn't really say that's a down, though, you feel me?
Yeah.
It's a harder work.
Yeah, it's just my work. Yeah, it's my work. It's mm-hmm. harder work, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Is there any mistake along the way that you would take back, like on the Money Move journey? Like, is there any one particular space or place where you're like, oh, maybe I should have did that, or maybe I jumped too quick to do this or that?
Yeah, for sure. Sign a certain contract, yeah. That is the only like thing I really would have did differently.
Yeah. And what like, contract was that?
That was a contract with AE, with my last folks I was in.
What's AE? With.
AE, that's a authentic empire. That's what it was then, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, it's an independent label. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, yeah.
So why do you regret it? What happened?
Shit. I regret it because I was under the impression like that it said a certain thing, like, but I ain't do my due diligence. Like, I had a lawyer, you know what I'm saying, when I signed it, but I guess he missed the part in the, like, about my recoupment type shit. You feel me? So, and that's what, I would have did that differently. You know what I'm saying? I would have did that differently all the way.
So is that on the label or the lawyer, though? Just have a conversation. I mean, because you just said lawyer missed it.
Yeah, for sure. He did. And that's on the lawyer. And that's on me. Because I signed the paper. You feel me? Okay. I made the decision.
Accountability.
To do the shit. You feel me? So that's on me. You know what I'm saying? Now, when all the other shit get tricky, like with the label, is like personally what I got with the CEO when it got tricky for me. You know what I'm saying? I was under the impression that my contract said that once all the money is made back, all the money is recouped, you know what I'm saying? Then I get a percentage as well of the back end.
Profit.
Yeah, you feel me? Like that. Until the money recoup, you get all the back end, right? When the money recoup, I get my percentage of the share, you feel me? Of the back end.
You say back end, you're talking about like sales. Stream. Sales and
I'm
shows.
Talking about stream.
No shows, just.
Yeah.
He's saying like, okay, but you spend the money, get your money back,
then we bust it up.
Whatever.
Anything that's to be split is to be
you
split.
You're saying that's what you was under impression. But was that in the paper?
Like, in the paper, the way that the money is recouped back, it's like it comes from a certain type of percentage type shit. You feel me? Like a royalty percentage. So, boom. Say it like this. Bank, I'm like, okay, we finna go into business. You gonna put up the money. Once you get all your money back, then we gonna start splitting the streaming profit, right? Yeah. Once you get all your money. And I'm gonna still give you most of the ownership. I'm gonna keep some of it. Boom. But in the paper, it's like the money that's going back to the recoupment is coming from like a low percentage. So not all the money up top, you feel me? You can, like, say you put up $500,000. Boom. When the money come back, $500, only a certain percentage of the $500 is going towards the recoupment. You get what I'm saying?
So it's kind of like when you have a mortgage and you have to pay principal and interest.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, hella interest, like on some shit that wasn't even negotiated. You feel me? Like, nigga didn't know that's what was going on. And then plus, it was like, once all the money was made back for the company, I'm like, shit, I'm like, what's up with the money? You know what I'm saying? The money made
so
back.
So you made everything that was spent.
I made every single dollar back and more. Like, you feel me? And I let them niggas get percentage of my own shows and my own features. And they wasn't even part of my management. You feel me?
Well, I still fuck with the show to try to recoup the money back.
Yeah, you feel me? Yeah. I recouped the money back. Bro, I recouped the money back with them before a whole year was over.
What the hell kind of recoupment you had? Like a 720?
Shit, man.
God damn.
I don't know. It was like something like that, but yeah.
But that ain't what he said when he was.
He said something about it being a term deal too. Like it was on a.
It was a 2 year. Let's get straight to the big facts.
Yeah, let's get to the facts.
It was a two.
I thought we'd been talking about money move. How you grew
you
up
me?
First?
Nah.
That's
why I kind of.
How hard it was walking to school with the hole in your shoes and shit.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to. Man, let's learn about Boo first.
No. Let's not slow it down.
So take us back to the beginning.
Ain't no backtracking.
We already in it, y'all. But nah, I'll break it all the way down. Boom.
Did the nigga play?
For sure. Nah,
you feel played?
Yeah. And
so how did the nigga play you?
Yeah. Like, let's break it out. You say you feel like he played you. You feel like?
I feel like he coming in on some,
I got you, did what we doing. The way you can understand it, but then put it in a different language in the paperwork.
Exactly.
That's what you saying.
Exactly. Then when the shit came out, like I had to go get another lawyer and shit, reread my shit, all that. Once I did that and seen what was going on, I'm like, damn, fool, like, what's up? Like,
You spoke to him about it.
Yeah, hell up, man. For one, we was on their ass the whole time about the recruitment. You feel me? Red Push, my manager, he was got
really pressing
them.
Shout out to Big Red up there in the corner.
Yeah, salute to Red. He was pressing them like, what's up, bro? How much has been made and how much goddamn we owe? You know what I'm saying? We doing that shit.
Trying to get out
every month, every month. Yeah, we trying to get you. I want to get you.
Yeah. Right.
I want you to eat. I want to eat. I'm going to do my end. You do your end. I ain't trying to do no flaw shit. Business. I'm trying to do good business. So we pressing. By the 2021, boom, we like, bro, have we recouped? Yes, move. Y'all have recouped. I'm like, damn, okay, bet. Show us the numbers. Let's show the numbers. We done recouped already now at this point by over 100-something thousand. You feel me? This is like, yeah. So you done got your money back. We done recouped already plus that 100-something thousand. Not including none of my show money or my feature money either, you feel me? Because we also was giving them some of that shit too. That wasn't even included in the shit. So we did recoup it already with the streaming. 2021, like last summer, 2021 type shit. Boom. We like, I bet. We recoup. It's time we ready to start getting our percentage. How this shit work? How we start getting this split? How this coming? Monthly, quarterly, whatever that is.
Yeah.
They like, bet, okay. You were cool. We got you. Months start going by. Ain't shit coming. Feel me? Ain't nothing coming. We like, bro, what's going on? What's up with that shit? You feel me? Like, you said we were cool. We synced the numbers. Like, what's going
like,
on?
Like, we synced it.
What's going on?
He like, oh, nah, Moo. It don't really work like that. Like, it's not like that. I thought it was like that, but it's not like that. You got to really go look into the papers again. I'm like, damn. I'm like, shit, it ain't like that. Okay. I'm going to go look back into the papers. I'm like, what you mean it's not like that? Like you said, once you get all your money back, we going to bust it down. That nigga was like, he was like, I thought it said that. He's like, man, I thought it said that, but it really don't say
see,
that.
See what happened?
He's like, man, I told you to have had your lawyer there, bro. You supposed to have your lawyer. Like, it's on your lawyer. To me, that's like, fuck you, nigga. That's how I take that. Because if I do some business with you and you like, yeah, bro, I thought it said this, Moo, but it didn't really say that. But really, bro, that's your lawyer fault type shit.
Oh, and it's in my favor. Like,
and mind you, all this time, though, you trying to kick this shit like, oh, we supposed to be family and woo-woo. I seen him on here talking about some, he went fucking with me because I went rocking hard with him or some shit like that. Like, nigga.
He said, that when you came up, that he was calling you to put his artist on your shows and shit, and you refused.
Man, ask any artist who dealt with them. Ask them. Like,
I mean, it's Big Facts, right?
Big Facts. You can ask, man. I still chop it up with most of them boys. Like, for real, I still be chopping it up with them boys.
But basically, what you saying is that. If it's supposed to be a family situation, if you tell me one thing, even if the paperwork does say something else, you're supposed to straighten that on your face.
He went in, oh, okay, this shit probably right. Face. Mm-hmm. This nigga, because everything ooh, and this shit do make sense for what we finna do.
Right.
We know we finna get bread back. We hustling. We finna get these niggas bread back, whatever, and then we finna figure this shit back out. It's just a way to whoop.
We just gonna move on. It's a stepping stone. I already knew from the beginning, before I even did that shit, I already knew. Boom, man, and all that. I'm like, bro, this gonna be a stepping stone. It ain't finna be.
Oh, so you were basically willing to sacrifice yourself, man, for the betterment cool of your career because you already knew what time it was with this nigga.
I was cool with it. I just wanted my little percentage, dog. I was just cool with it. I was like, bro, I'm gonna let you eat. You feel me? And shit, I'ma eat and we gonna go on about our way.
Was there ever a conversation amongst the team, and I used to chop up with Red too, that maybe y'all could have just kept doing what y'all, because Hilton was on fire here. And I know you wanted to spread it and make it national and shit, but
yeah,
that motherfucker was a hit regardless. So was there ever a conversation that maybe we should just, because you don't know what call would have came 30 days from.
Then that motherfucker caught back up, like,
It was really about the paper, like, because it was like, at that point, bro, Hit was going on 3 years. Feel me? I'm dropping other shit at this point. I'm not really just still on hitting like that.
But you see how long it took Rich Boy? It took Rich Boy 5 years.
Oh, no.
Now that shit is on every fucking VH1 special. Throw some D's on that bitch.
For sure. For
sure. That shit all over the place. Still.
For sure. For sure. But I'm just saying, that's just the facts of how I was thinking of it right
now. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, he came to me like, I want to put this bread behind this song.
Oh, he came to you.
Yeah. Boom Man was trying to, he originally was finna try to hire Red Push. He was going to try to hire Red. Then he would tell him, oh God, he wanted to hire this nigga Red. Of course, Red like, I'm not doing that shit. But he like, shit, I want to fuck with Moo. Boom like, I want to fuck with Moo too.
So Boom, like, you feel like Boom's can't.
Nah, I ain't gonna say he's scamming. Like, what he doing, whatever he doing, bro, that's on him. I don't know what the fuck he doing with
I'm
that.
I'm saying, but, like, because it, like, everybody, like, I told him, everybody saying he doing something.
But,
huh? What'd you say, Big Red?
What he doing, Red?
He ain't doing right.
What'd you say, Big Red? His office hours are from 9 to 9.
But a full scam though would have been if he signed him and they spent a dollar.
Yeah, he putting that money up though.
He spent the money. You gotta give him that.
Y'all, I'm speaking on me. He put some bread up and we ate. We all ate. I ain't never take that away from him.
Yeah.
All I said was, bro, you ain't keep it 1,000 about that shit.
Okay.
And then to just be trying to say that, like, I, whatever, like, you just not keeping that shit 1,000 about that shit.
So, why y'all can't even have a conversation?
What?
And I try to have another
conversation. What you say, Big Red?
That nigga sold a percentage of the song and didn't tell us. That's why he the fuck.
Yeah, I really ain't
he sold who percentage
the
of the song?
Yeah, he owned that song. He sold it and didn't tell us.
Like, yeah, I ain't get to say to that part yet. When you was like, did we have conversations? I hit Boom. Me and Boom went and sat in Cheetah.
Let me see this shit, man.
Look. Me and Boom, we went. I'm like, bro, I hit him up about that shit, bro. You said it's love, you fuck with me, bro. We got to straighten this. Okay, you said you didn't know it said that. I didn't know it said that. Hey, let's straighten it then.
Bro. So who knew?
Shit, obviously.
The person who made the contract.
Right.
Feel his me? Attorney?
That's who knew. Yeah.
It happened, you know, but you be up now. That shit can happen like that.
Okay,
but saying
it happened like that.
That shit can happen like that because at the end of the day, if somebody work for me, they're going to do what's in the best of my favor. Your people are supposed to make sure that it don't happen. Business is, you trying to sway it in your favor. I don't give a fuck what you're doing.
Facts. Yeah. Facts.
No matter what it is, me and you, I can have total compassion for you and want us to, let's get this money. But these folks don't know you in these back offices.
But can we straighten money. That, though? We can't strain that.
Now, since we both, y'all agreed, because your word is about to be your bond. He like, oh, I'm like, bro, let's strain it out. You feel me? I'm like, damn, what the fuck, you can't strain it out. Like, we'll rip that motherfucker up. It's a piece of paper. He like, shit, I done took money on behalf from another company for it and shit.
I'm like, oh, you sold that
shit.
I'm like, damn. So
damn.
He sold that shit, bro. He can't. He like, bro, I can't straighten it and change it now, bro, because I done took money for it already. Nigga got it off. And honestly, bro, I seen, man, that shit was on auction and everything, nigga. Like, bro, you could look this shit up right now, nigga. Like, hitting. You could look that shit up right now. That's the big facts. You could look
it was up for the highest bidder.
Oh, man. All right, bro.
But
that shit.
At the end of the day, so did he own? He owned it. If he owned it, he could do whatever he wanted to do with his property.
Man. Hold on, guys. Entering, what you call that shit when you in court? Exhibit A.
Damn. Royal Exchange. Money move, hang without your face.
That's how they tried to do the five heartbeats.
And so, but once say, a nigga owns something, though, can't he do whatever what he want to do with his shit?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just tell me. Yeah, you're right. So y'all looking at it like, I believe you ain't keeping it silent.
Yeah, exactly. That's
exactly.
All I'm
it business.
Because you were thinking all you had to do was recoup and reforecast and fucking make the more money.
When niggas talk about all this, nigga, you made that shit back. You been getting profit off of it. Like, you acting like the money you ain't made. I'm like, nigga, you... I say, nigga, you saying you took a loss on me? Hell no, I ain't saying. I know you did it. Like, but shit, that's what it is.
Maybe he was talking about somebody else.
But how them niggas... Damn, that fucked up. Boom. Okay, everybody be saying little shit like he. Damn, what he doing? Cause he really got damn ass. That shit was looking like some AE shit that finna shit pop off though. When all y'all he had you all them niggas at the same time. That shit.
He
was
told
good.
Us. He said, "Boy, y'all helping my face in the city. Y'all boy helping my face in the city. Woo, woo, woo." Like I'm like, shit. Okay.
That shit was looking good. It was looking like, okay, yeah, this shit about to be something.
Because he had him, Euro, and who else?
Fugiano.
Just all type of little shit going on. Doing big concert shit. Gucci and all of those shit. That shit was looking like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you had the hit.
It could have been.
You know what I'm saying? All the big features. I don't know how that shit.
So the path forward ain't no path forward. It's just.
Yeah, no, it ain't.
Fuck it.
Hold on, we got another exhibit.
Damn. I just know goddamn.
What if he wanna try to get it right?
Get what right?
Maybe give him some paper.
Oh yeah, niggas always open for paper.
What I'm saying is he gonna take the paper and be like, still fuck you.
Ever. No, good friends.
Man, I mean shit, bro. You know, at the end of the day, it ain't like. Bro, I ain't never disrespected that man publicly or none of that shit. You know what I'm saying?
He
like,
said he's been threatened.
Just spoke the fact.
Huh? He said he's been threatened. Didn't he say
I don't know nothing about that.
Oh, he said, no, not about
you. Oh, it was you.
I ain't saying anything either.
Okay, we found the culprit, guys.
I don't know. When you out here doing fuck shit and you scared as hell, it could be coming from anybody. No. Who knows what's going on? I don't know. You feel me? But they ain't got nothing to do with me. At the end of the day, shit, everything could be reconciled. You know what I'm saying? Like, it could, but it's a what I'm on. Shit, I'm on that paid shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Right now, so yeah, still paid, still straight. You feel me?
Yeah. I don't know, bro. Shit just be crazy, bro. Ego and shit, ego get in the way of shit, man. I don't know, bro. He probably thought.
Go bang.
I'm just trying to get a nigga. No, this nigga tried to sign Mondo. Nah, I know he know what he was doing, but I'm saying he was probably doing business the whole time. He was doing business in his mind.
It's here.
At the end of the day, it is business. You know what I'm saying?
Because at the end of the day, you can't tell me once them 2 years was up. And you got down whatever you did, and he kept it all. You wouldn't have been on some shit.
You would still have money.
I don't need you to do more money.
Nah, that's what I'm saying. We would have kept rocking, bro. I would have kept rocking with him because he did roll the dice. You feel me?
Yeah.
When other folks didn't, he rolled the dice. I gave that to him.
That's solid.
You feel me?
Yeah, that's real nigga shit right there.
Yeah.
Hell
you said, if you'd have kept it solid, you'd have kept it. You'd have rolled out. We got some type
for
of way.
For sure.
Some type of way we could have kept getting money.
I would have been. Yeah, for sure. Like, we would have made it work. You know what I'm saying? But. Yeah,
I think Boom gonna got them call and get you what's up.
Speak it into existence, my brother.
The right hey. if it is two sides, yeah, we've heard both sides. Hold on, I brought
you
it up
got
first.
Yeah,
by.
Yeah, like. What time y'all office hours? It's five. Oh, I got 10 minutes.
Nah, I mean, we love this city, bro. So anytime people can put the
we can mend the fence. We like to mend the fence. Cool,
but the reality is sometimes you can't. We ain't on no.
Sometimes fences be unmendable.
Sometimes that's what it is.
Yeah. And it did what it did. Like I say, bro, at the end of the day, it's on me. It's never a loss. It's just a lesson for me. You feel me?
I just be trying to see shit from just different ways that a nigga just can't be that fucked up. So what can a nigga be thinking?
You get what I'm saying? Didn't we just talk about benefit of the doubt, though?
What you saying? Hey, I'll
be fucked nigga free. That what you said?
You got to. But I'm saying, I be just trying to get, I don't.
See, we just talked about it. What you just tell me about benefit of the doubt?
Benefit of the doubt, because sometimes people can have something in their mind that they think is true. And be tricking themselves while they thinking they tricking you. But you ain't
never lied so much
that you ain't some people that's delusional. So much
you believe. You ain't never lied so much about something that you even believe that shit was true. I know.
Yeah,
you
when did. I was 4 years old, I used to tell people that I was 8.
You believed it?
I did.
There you go. That's how it goes.
How you would have handled it if you were as an executive and you signed a young nigga? How would you have handled it?
When I'm an executive, bro, I'm gonna do that shit straight up. The terms gonna be simple base. It's gonna be able to, they gonna be able to understand that shit.
It's gonna be a one
when
sheet.
They read it. Yeah,
I'm saying that you, but a lawyer might, a lawyer is gonna make shit simple. So you're gonna,
all my shit
for,
gonna be right. Yeah.
Right.
I'm having the best lawyer at the net, everything I do from now on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And of course, I'm gonna make sure I get me, but they gonna get them too. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be fair. Mm. Like, it's gonna be fair. I ain't trying to snake you out. I'm trying to eat. I'm trying to help you eat. And we keep it going. I'm not a greedy nigga. Feel me? Like, I ain't tripping about that shit. I just would have did the shit fair. And I would have kept my word. I would have stood on that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he ain't never say he wrong?
Nah, hell nah. He say I'm cap. What I got to cap about this shit for?
He ain't never been that one nigga be on that type of time. I'm just being real. Ever since I knew you, since a young kid, like, you just always been a straight up nigga. So.
You are red, really?
Straight up, yeah. You ain't red. So I think.
I've been knowing red damn near 10 years.
Lawyers are misunderstanding.
It was his financial people, and then he just I don't know your business, but what you telling me,
I don't know why.
It just went left on the other, man.
What?
I mean, he is what it is.
What's next?
Man, what's next, man? I just dropped, you feel me, on 2 tracks, matter of fact. I just dropped that Never See Him with Young Sin, that motherfucker hard produced by Mondo.
Eastside.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And I just dropped one called Doing It, produced by my brother, Rubber Band Red, featuring my dog, Trap Baby Magic. Go crazy, you feel me? Good vibe on there.
Okay.
Feel me? And man, Believe 2 on the way. The project, gonna be 2 sides, you know what I'm saying? Real bangers. Real bangers on that motherfucker, bro. I'm back in that mold, you know what I'm saying? Like, for sure. I'm piped up with it right now. I think y'all really gonna like it too, because it's like, man, the sound is unique. Like, it's just us. It's like Still Paid. We creating it. It's coming from us. Nobody else got this sound right here.
I like how y'all move. Just y'all niggas don't be in the mix of all that bullshit. Be so against the paper.
Man, right. You got the money, man. Really, man, for sure.
Still Paid.
Believe, man. Yeah.
What you want to say to the people? What you want to say to the streets, man?
Man, I just want
to... Well, I say where his chain at.
Oh, yeah. Nah, you know I got that beat. I got that beat coming. Man. Yo, cap, boy, I got to get a couple pieces. Yo, cap, man. For sure. But, yeah, man, just follow me on everything. Still Paid, Move, Still Paid, MU.
What's your YouTube?
Money Move, Still Paid, Move.
Okay.
All that is going to pop straight up. You know what I'm saying? And believe, man. Believe, yeah. Remember to believe. You got to believe in some. Believe in yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
All right,
yo. Shit, don't believe in these lawyers.
Hey, damn. Get you one. You better get you one you can believe in. Son. for real.
Salute the Money Move. Chopping it up with us on Big Facts. You know what it is. www.bigfactspod.com.
Salute!
For the streets.
Exactly.
It's Big Facts.
No cap.
Bitch.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.